vehicle. Right now, they're just $9.99 each. Stop in and save through June 15th during Menards Father's Day sale. Plus, a Menards gift card is perfect for Father's Day.
Save big money at Menards.
This is Rick Prather with Vogel Insurance Group. As an independent agency, Vogel Insurance Group has no exclusive relationship with any one insurance company. We work for and represent you. Since we can offer more choices in products and prices, you don't have to spend your time shopping around insurance rates. You can accomplish your goals with one simple call or visit to us. We provide more than information. We guide you through your choices and provide sound solutions.
Welcome to KWOS Open Air Saturday with Hal Dooley on News Radio 950 KWOS and on FM at 104.5.
Welcome in, Open Air, on this rainy Saturday morning. Hal Dooley, along with a cast of thousands, everybody says. Actually, a cast of three. I've got my board man, Lucas. Lucas, good morning.
Good morning. Good to see you again.
And you got your backup? Nick Ruffey's back in the house again.
Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully we won't need too much backup today. Hopefully I know what I'm doing by today.
Well, I already know you know what you're doing, but I always wonder if maybe I'm not doing my job well enough that I need two people to engineer this show. You know. But anyway, that's okay. Nick's been around he's been around as long as I have, so. But he's a lot younger than I am, cuter than I am. So that's got a good show, Lucas.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it.
Information Plus on steroids.
Is that
Patrick McKenna, director of MoDOT. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, Hal.
The last time I had him on, I only had an hour, and we ended up talking 2 hours.
Wow.
An hour of it off the radio in the parking lot. I mean, this guy is so packed with information and has probably the most challenging job in the state of Missouri.
Is that right?
Yeah, maintaining our roads and bridges.
I'm looking forward to hearing about it.
I am, too, since most of it's underwater right now. That's sort of a challenge, too. But,
it is.
Last time we talked about, you know, bridges and repairs, and we're going to talk about that again today. But I think the issue today right now is flooding and how we're handling that and how the displacement is. Two things I noticed I got on your website this morning. I see Mike Pace is still chairman. That's good.
That is good.
The West Plains is high and dry, hopefully.
Well, mostly.
You didn't get a phone call from Mike saying, we're underwater, get down here and take care of us?
We get those from all six commissioners on a regular basis.
Oh, so. You do?
That's right. That's right.
But most of your commissioners have been on for a while now.
They have. Yeah. They have. You know, we're really fortunate. They serve in 6-year terms, and they're staggered. So generally, two will cycle out every two years. So it just depends on how it goes. But we're really fortunate. A lot of people don't realize how much time and effort on a volunteer basis our commissioners put in. We meet every month, and that's where the real business of MoDOT is conducted. So. We have contract documents and things like that. A lot of people don't realize how legal and careful and planful we have to be because we're impacting property rights, we're impacting all of the environment, all of these things, and we have to do it carefully and by the books. Our commission weighs in on those, makes sure that not only are we doing things by the books, but that we're doing things that make sense to the public. Every once in a while, probably surprise people, but every once in a while, a group of bureaucrats will get together and come up with something that might not be a great idea. And, you know, that's the beauty of having a private set of individuals that brings that sensitivity and sensibility in. We might be looking at something that is meeting all of the statutory and regulatory requirements, but when you look at it on its face, it needs more work. And that's what our commission brings to the table. You know, somebody like Mike Pace leading it up, 30 years on the Highway Patrol, Brigadier General in the military. This is an amazing person.
Impressive credentials.
He oozes leadership, and just being around him is good for me, and that guidance is great for the state.
I'm sure that guy across the street called the lieutenant governor is a little helpful, too, since he has a little experience with MoDOT, since he's a former chairman and commissioner.
Absolutely. We're really fortunate right now. You think of the leadership in the state, Governor Parson, with his time as a sheriff, working through the legislature. He really knows the way government works, and that's really important as we figure out, with limited resources, how to prioritize activities and make things better for Missourians. And the lieutenant governor is really amazing. He's got a deep appreciation for transportation and a detailed knowledge of it. So, you know, I think rest assured, MoDOT can't get away with anything these days. And, you know, and that's good. I mean, we are very lucky to have such a dedicated leadership team, both with the commission and with the governor and lieutenant governor. It's a great time for the state.
It is. And a small piece of information in researching MoDOT again in the last couple of days, the governor's comment that the funding package that you all got in the last session is only a small part of the total package that's needed. So he recognizes that we need long-term fix on this. And it's got to be comforting to know that you've got support of the governor and lieutenant governor going forth. Maybe eventually we can get on top of this and get the roads and bridges in the shape that they need to be in.
Well, you know, when you think about governor taking office and coming in and trying to size up what his priorities are going to be in office, it's kind of amazing because he came in and lent his political shoulder along with Lieutenant Governor Kehoe to making the case to the public for that long-term solution for the gas tax increase. The public ended up saying no to that. And we always have to do a better job of informing and making sure people understand the implications here. But a lot of people after that would have said, okay, don't bring that issue to my desk again for a while. The very next day, Governor Parson was saying, okay, now what? What do we do now? How do we create a shot in the arm? And when I mentioned that he really understands the way government works, including the way funds are allocated and resources are made available to the Department of Transportation, so he came in and said, you know, if we could, and this is before really having a full handle on the state's budget, if we could figure out some small shot in the arm here, what would be the best way to do that? And you know, actually, as he was saying that, he was answering his own question, because he said, it seems to me that focusing on bridges mm-hmm. would be something that we could argue is, and realistically, this is a long-term investment. It's critically important. He actually selected, out of the way the commission allocates funds and plans for long-term impacts to the state transportation improvement program, we update that annually, but it's a five-year plan so that the public can understand what's coming, so that we can plan it out on an engineering and environmental basis, permitting basis. And he said, look, I you know, the commission's authority to go through that local planning process that we do, I don't want to intercept that. So they actually went in and selected a number of bridges that are already in the plan for acceleration. And if we could put some essentially general revenue into the mix, his plan was to borrow a little money, spread it out over about 15 years. And when you think that these structures will last for probably 75 years, that's a good return on investment. Negotiations back and forth through the budget, as is typically the case with the legislature, yielded some success there. So we were able to secure through the budget a $50 million shot in the arm. We estimated initially that we'd be able to deal with about 35 bridges with that amount of money. We're actually now up to about 45. Those are spread throughout the state. It doesn't solve the whole problem, but it gets us going. And that creates an opportunity to reallocate that $50 million throughout the state in our next year's plan. So it's really helpful. And it's a shot in the arm, and it's a start. We're going to have all 45 of those bridges under contract by November. So our team is really working hard. You know, the budget just passed at the end of session, mm-hmm. and we were working on it. But that's a great example, I think, of how the governor has just said, okay, now what? Mm-hmm. What do we do today? What do we do tomorrow? How do we make things better? Even if it doesn't solve the whole problem, making positive progress is really important. And it's a really optimistic view. It's a great view that, you know, we can get together and figure out problems and get them solved.
I think most people know by now that state got bonding authorization for $301 million predicated on federal grant approval. How's that stand? How's that working? And how do you feel about the federal grant proposal?
Yeah, so part of the negotiation back and forth with the General Assembly, the governor's plan initially was $350 million. So the way it's working is $50 million is the down payment. That's what we're getting going. And then the $300 million is contingent on a federal discretionary grant through the US DOT. We were very aggressive in our pursuit of that money. It's critically important. What it does is it packages all the bridges together, uses all the rural bridges as a rural match of state funds to try to bring the money to replace the Roachport Bridge. It's a Hail Mary for us, but it's a possibility, and it's important. We've had great interest in this grant. I testified in the middle of March in Washington, D.C. at the U.S. Senate Environment and Public Works Committee, and that the Roachport Bridge was the center point of my testimony. It's a great example of how what would seem like a local project has an impact on the entire transportation network in the country. You know, we see that bridge, and we've calculated that commercial trucks that pass over that bridge within 48 hours are spread in every state in the continental U.S. Within 48 hours. So if we end up where we are right now, which is only the resources to rehabilitate that bridge, 60 years old, it needs to be replaced. But if all we can do with the money we have is to rehabilitate that, we could have 7 to 9 months of only one lane of I-70 in each direction, considerable backups, and really problematic for the entire economy of Missouri. So we applied for this discretionary grant to be able to fund that replacement rather than rehabilitation. The governor's been hugely supportive. He's already been to Washington, talked to the officials in Washington at USDOT. As a matter of fact, he just filmed a segment for us two days ago, that we're going to send a video postcard to the officials in D.C. expressing how important this is. And, we applied for 20% of all the money that's available nationally. So as you can imagine, that's a
pretty good chunk.
It's a pretty good chunk. And I think it's that important. And certainly we're trying for that. Now, the way the legislative action took place, should we get that grant, we'll actually be able to trigger the borrowing mechanism for the additional $300 million. So it's all connected to each other, but that grant itself could spark about $600 million of investment here in Missouri. It's pretty important.
We're visiting with Patrick McKenna, the director of Missouri Department of Transportation, here on Open Air Saturday on News Radio 950 KWS. We're going to talk about the Roachport Bridge. When we get back, we're going to take a quick break. That's my next question.
40,000 years ago, people used pictures to tell stories. 5,500 years ago, we added the written word. Today, words and pictures remain the most powerful forms of storytelling the world over. If you're not using them to talk about your business, you're 40,000 years behind the times. Let the team of award-winning writers, editors, photographers, and designers at Zimmer Radio and Marketing Group tell your story using the most enduring medium in human history. Your custom magazine publishing begins now at ZimmerCommunications.com.
Ant season.
So good to see you. Give your auntie kisses.
It's the worst.
So, still not married, I see.
Ant after ant invading your home.
Oh, sweetie, you might want to skip dessert tonight.
Talk about a real pest. The only thing worse is an actual army of ants. The six-legged variety. Swarming your kitchen, living room, and garage. Ants can be annoying.
Let me see those cheeks.
And so can ants. If you're in the midst of ant season, call Steve's Pest Control.
I'm Steve from Steve's Pest Control. Pests are relentless and persistent. That's why they're called pests. If you want your bugs removed, eradicated, or just plain old-fashioned dead, we're going to solve your pest problem. I guarantee it.
Now you got a friend in the pest control business, Steve's Pest Control.
Honey, what are you doing?
Yeah, did you see the new lights the Joneses put in? Well, check ours out. Stadium.
Don't keep up with the Joneses. One up the Joneses with one call to All-in-One Outdoor Solutions. Be the highlight of the neighborhood when you have All-in-One Outdoor Solutions accent the outside of your home with gorgeous LED lighting. You can fill out a bid form right now at allinoneoutdoor.com. Go all in on your outdoors. No stadium lights required. Allinoneoutdoor.com.
I'm Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt. My job is to protect the citizens of our state and help make our communities safer. And today, I'm asking for your help. For too long, the citizens of our state have been deceived about opioids. As we move forward with our lawsuit, we want to hear directly from Missourians about how the opioid crisis has affected you and your loved ones. Share your story and help us hold those responsible accountable.
Share your stories at realopioidpain.com. Sponsored by the Missouri Attorney General's Office.
This is John.
And Philip.
Your tractor guys at Rosebud Tractor.
Well, Philip, it's time to hit the hay.
Already? You just woke up.
No, I mean it's time to get out in the fields with my New Holland baler and Disbine.
Ah, yes, of course. New Holland is the leader in hay equipment. Whatever tools you need for hay season, New Holland has it and does it right. Right, John? John. Poor little guy, getting old. Rosebud Tractor. Your tractor guys in Lynn and Rosebud, Missouri. RosebudTractor.com.
Another beautiful day.
Yeah, pretty mild spring.
When mild.
Whoa, where did that come from?
Turns wild. Turn on KWOS.
We didn't know the weather.
Know the weather forecast.
Stay informed. Stay safe.
It's good to be prepared for it.
Go ahead, check your weather app. Then check here for a more helpful forecast. Be prepared for wild mid-Missouri weather.
I turn on the radio.
With Jefferson City's severe weather station.
Before the thunder.
104.5 News Radio, KWOS. KWOS Saturday Open Air with Hal Dooley and the whole crew.
You know, the weather is important, but the water levels are what everybody's listening to now. Where are we on the flood stage? Of course, we're down right now. A little rain this morning has an impact, but we're hoping that we have fair weather in the next couple, 2 or 3 weeks, at least get back down to 23 feet here in Jefferson City, which is flood stage, and get the roads and bridges. And my guest, Patrick McKenna, the director of MoDOT, hopes that it gets down far enough that he can get back to his highways and supplementary roads to be able to clean them, number one, and number two, repair the damage that's been done. We were talking before the break about the Roachport Bridge, which to me is the big gorilla right now in the transportation system on whether we're able to repair it. We're going to do one of two things, either repair it or replace it. And I think most of us hope that we replace it, because I don't even want to think, and every time we talk to Patrick, about the calamity that occurs if we have to repair it and the back. We don't even want to go there. Let's just talk about what the probability of getting the sufficient funding to replace the bridge is right now.
Well, you're talking about a 3,018-foot span over a major river. That's a complicated project. That's an expensive project, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $240 million. Right now, we have $20 million toward that. So, I don't think a bake sale is going to do it. So that's why we've been so aggressive in the needs at the federal level. Discretionary grants are not the long-term funding solution nationwide, but they give us an opportunity to highlight projects of the most significance in the state. We just got good news this week, actually, a different major bridge in the state for the Merchants Bridge, which is a rail line that carries a lot of the nation's freight into the St. Louis region from Illinois. That received nearly a $30 million federal grant, and that's underway. The rail lines have to slow. That's a 90-plus-year-old bridge. They have to slow down to 4 miles an hour to cross that river. So major bridges for us are a big issue. In Missouri, we have 208 of them. That's a $7 billion replacement cost just for those. And we have the most major structures of any state in the nation. A lot of people don't realize that. We manage over 10,000 bridges at the state level. There's another 14,000 at the local level. So 24,000 bridges in the state of Missouri. In the next 10 years, in our asset management plan, we have to work on 100 of the 208 major bridges. I have funding for about 15. That puts in context, in these major structures, they really are connected with the economy in the state, the interstate traffic moving among and through the state, and, you know, the daily interaction. You think of that Roachport Bridge and the connection on I-70, you know, on one end of the state, Kansas City, on the other, St. Louis. We have major auto manufacturing plants on both ends, Ford in Kansas City and GM. The supply chain for those plants runs every 15 minutes across Roachport. We cannot have that intercepted for that much. We've talked to officials at MU Healthcare and in Columbia. The mayor in Columbia really has put this in context for us. If we have traffic delays over a 9-month period, They estimate that 14,000 emergency trips will have to be diverted away from their facility to others because they don't want to risk people's health when they're coming for an emergency service. So that really highlights to me the importance beyond just the transportation network, but the use of it and mm-hmm. how important it is to the daily life. So we have the last round of this discretionary grant. About 12% of the money that was requested was granted. It's a limited pool, and there is $900 million available on the national level, and we asked for $172.5 million of it. We're pretty aggressive here, but we need to be because we have to find solutions, and we have to do the things that are important to the state.
You know, and it just scares the bejeebers out of me. And I think of the alternative. If you do have to repair the bridge and you do have the backups and stuff, the two alternatives that come to mind to me is 36 to the north of us, but more importantly, Highway 50 to the south of us. I can just imagine some of the diversion coming through 50 and Wexham Expressway. You know, it's bad now to see all those trucks and commerce come through Jefferson City on a regular basis, like you said, up to 9 months to a year in doing that. So it is a significant difference between replacing the bridge. And I know the general citizenry can't do enough about doing anything about it, but you know what efforts you're making, Congressman Blunt's office, Luke DeMeyer, all of our congressional delegation, I know are working hard on that. And all you can do is just keep pounding it away. I mean, $175 million is a lot of money when you only got $900 million pot nationally on it. So.
That's right. Yeah. And you know, our delegation does a great job representing Missouri and trying to make that case. These are long-term things that we have to deal with. We're going to have to figure out the funding solution here. I know it sounds like a broken record, but we're operating on 20-year-old money. The gas tax hasn't been raised here since 1996, and its value in purchasing is half of what it was then. Just in bridges alone, and this drives people crazy when I say it, but in the last 20 years, we replaced 1.2 million square feet of bridge deck. We don't really necessarily count the bridges. It's the, you know, because that's the unit cost for us in terms of the pricing. Just by age and condition, the next 20 years from where we stand now, we have to replace three times that. And then if you look out between 20 and 30 years out, it doubles again. You know why? Because Missouri built a lot of bridges and the U.S. built a lot of bridges in the 1950s and 60s. And those are beyond their design life, and we have to take care of those. That's what's grown Missouri's agricultural industry and other industries, and if we don't take care of that, we're going to see a decline there. So these are things that it's not to scare people, it's just to inform so that we know what is ahead of us. And so I need to do triple the bridge work in the next 20 years with money worth half as much as it was 20 years ago. That's an equation that doesn't actually add up.
And somewhere, you're going to need citizen support. You haven't always had that, unfortunately.
That's right.
And a lot of it's just communications and getting out there. And I understand people, you know, live from paycheck to paycheck, and they've got some down-home concerns for that. But at the same time, if you can't get there, I mean, you know, Grindstone over in Columbia on 63 has been shut down, and I'm starting to get the news articles about the trailer park on the other side and how the people can't get across the Grindstone overpass to be able to get to the 7-Eleven over there and stuff like that. And that's displacement that it bothers some to you all, I know, but the repairs have to be done.
That's right. You know, we can only, I don't spend a lot of time pretending what we can and can't do. We look at exactly what we have for resources. It's actually not, I think a lot of people sometimes think it's MoDOT's job to raise money. It's not. Our job is to, we're an executive branch of the government. And whatever the public and policymakers make available, our job is to do the best we can with that. Now, a lot of times, because of the limitations, some of the work we do doesn't make sense to people. You know, a lot of times you might have in one community one road that's in decent shape and one road that's in terrible shape. We're probably going to be working on the road in decent shape more often because we can do minor treatments to keep that in good condition at probably 10 cents on the dollar. And we don't have the money for reconstruction. So people would say, don't you realize that the condition is worse over there? And we do. We
it's
just don't have the money.
It's all politics in it. Visiting Patrick McKenna, director of MoDOT here in the state of Missouri. Listen to Open Air Saturday. We're going to break for the news and come right back.
The state health department has until June 21st to decide whether to deny a license to the only clinic performing abortions in Missouri. St. Louis judge ruled the state cannot simply allow the license to expire for St. Louis Planned Parenthood. Governor Mike Parsons says he sees no reason for the judge to issue a deadline.
To me, he has a job to rule in a case. I don't think postponing it really was the right thing to do.
Parsons says Planned Parenthood simply needs to prove safety measures are in place. Tornado damage to the Lincoln University president's home now estimated at $1 million. Repairs are expected to take about a year. All the doors, windows, and furniture were blown out of the historic university home during the tornado in Jefferson City. And the 50th annual Miss Missouri pageant is tonight. 27 candidates competing for the crown at the competition in northern Missouri's Mexico. This is Missouri Nets.
At AT&T, we believe that access to affordable home internet brings you incredible opportunities. You can enjoy the power to explore a digital world of possibilities and connect with family, friends, and the things that matter most. That's why there's access from AT&T. If a member of your household is a SNAP participant, you may qualify for home internet at a discounted rate of $10 a month or less. No commitment, no deposit, no installation fee. Plus, get an in-home Wi-Fi gateway included at no extra cost. Call 1-855-220-5211 or visit att.com/access now to learn more.
SNAP refers to the Federal Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Pricing excludes taxes and fees. Includes 1 terabyte of data per month. Data overage charges apply. For details about data allowance, go to att.com/internet-usage. Geographic and service restrictions apply.
Fresh burgers, cold beer, clean bathrooms. Get ready, Holt Summit. Speedy Bees is coming.
Body language can tell you all sorts of things, like someone is having a stroke. You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F, face drooping, A, arm weakness, or S, speech difficulty, then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately. Know the sudden signs. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Morgan Freeman and News Radio 950 KWOS, both born in 1937.
KWOS.
Attention! Corporal Dooley is in the building on KWOS.
Welcome back to Open Air Saturday. Patrick McKenna, the director of MoDOT, is my guest today. We're talking about all the consequences of funding and the lack of revenue, and we were talking about the lack of revenue and the need for bridge replacement and repair. And that's always a daunting task. You know, that, well, how many, $350 million in revenue authorization, how many bridges does that really impact?
Well, the way that we structured this plan, we looked at things because the idea, the governor's idea was to accelerate the construction, to give that shot in the arm in the short term. So we had to pick bridges that were simple, that were reasonable. So we actually selected, and the governor's team selected 250 bridges. That averages about $1.4 million per. So these are primarily in rural areas. About 80% of these bridges are in rural Missouri. The overall criteria was they had to be about $8 million or less. So that makes it possible. They're easier to get the permitting. They're easier to do those things. And they're just the governor, the lieutenant governor, were really heavily involved in going out and touring these areas earlier in the spring. And there's nothing like standing underneath a bridge that needs to be repaired. You know, in many of these cases, we were looking at to the kind of the shock of many that were under them. We use cribbing, wooden cribbing, in rural bridges all over the state. You know, it's our bridge maintenance division gets the job done. So you'd be surprised with commercial trucking going over a bridge that has wooden cribbing in it. And in many cases, that cribbing is rotting out and needs to be replaced. The bridge needs to be replaced. That really heightens the issue. But it also shows that we use a lot of good common sense. We are not always looking for the most expensive solution. We're looking for things that are practical within our resources. But about 250 bridges could be accelerated. And the value of that at 350 then could be reallocated to the regions of the state. We have 7 maintenance districts in the state, and the central district right here would receive acceleration of about 40 bridges and a kind of a reallocation of just under $40 million to put to use on other infrastructure needs.
You know, Patrick, what that brought to mind, the eastbound Missouri River Bridge right here, mm-hmm. when you rehabilitated it, right. and then needed a supplemental appropriation because you found a lot of rivets that were exposed that needed to be replaced. Is this something that's factored in on the bridge replacement and repair program that we've got now that you might have incurred additional costs on unseen problems with these bridges?
Well, that's any construction activity has as-built conditions. We have a pretty good handle on it, but particularly the major river crossings, these are the most complicated jobs that we face, and you cannot, until you get into them, really predict. Even when we were inspecting, because on an appropriate basis, we have to plan for rehabbing the bridge in Roachport. We have to plan for it, even though that is not our preference. Mm-hmm. We would rather replace it. Some people say we're forcing the issue. It's gonna be, but you know. The planning of and the safety of the public and our workforce to work on that bridge requires advanced work. We went out and inspected the bridge before we actually realized that it's even in worse condition than we thought. It's not unsafe, but we actually had to do an emergency replacement of an expansion joint just about a month ago. And, you know, that happened about 18 months ago as well. So, you know, as these structures age, things that you either expect or don't expect, you have to react to.
Yeah, it's for public safety and stuff like that. And it's very important. And what does, going back to the flood again real quick, that's a displacement. I mean, you got people working on issues directly related to the flood mm-hmm. that are non-operational issues that they would normally be doing. That's costly for you too, isn't it?
Well, it is. We have at present down from over 300 roads closed. We still have 179 roads closed in the state right now. Some locally, as you mentioned, 94, but throughout the state, northwest region of our state really got hit hard in relative to others. And there are a lot of impacts throughout the state. We're kind of just beyond crest of the Mississippi River by Cape Girardeau right now. But we've had the Chester Bridge close, major structure down there for quite a while. In northeast, we've had the Champ Clark Bridge, where we're replacing that bridge side by side. Kind of the model of what we'd like to do in Roachport. That replacement is going on right now, but that has had to be closed because the original bridge goes through a notch in the Sny Levee District, and that's underwater. So, you know, major impacts to travel and to traffic. We have Interstate 29 closed because of damage that occurred in Iowa. Now, parts of 29 for us are high and dry, but if we open up that traffic to interstate commercial traffic, the diversion when you hit the Iowa line will do $20 or $30 million worth of road damage that we can't afford to repair. So we are tracking right now all of the damages. We can't get a full assessment of the damages until the water recedes in localized in areas. What we have had with such a severe pressure on the levees throughout the state, when a levee breaches, we get velocity and volume of water. That really contributes. It could be a scour under the piers of a bridge. It could be the roadbed itself. We have a lot of saturation in the roadbeds and throughout, and we could have slides that occur throughout the summer. We're going to see high water because of the releases in the flood control northwest of us, really until well into November is the prediction. We're at Gavin's Point, the releases are probably going to average 75,000 cubic feet per second all the way through November in one form or another. And that's going to keep the major rivers high. You know, think about that. That's an Olympic-sized swimming pool released every second. And
every second.
The way that translates to Jefferson City is that every 10,000 cubic feet per second release, 5 days later, translates into a foot of water here in Jefferson City. So it's an amazing system that's put in place to meter out this massive volume of snow melt and other rain events that occurred this spring.
Well, I'm thinking about it. Thank you. Not necessarily you, but MoDOT. And the reason I say that, some of us people have been around for 20, 30 years or a little bit longer, remember when 63 across the river was underwater and we had to go up through Guthrie to get to Columbia and stuff like that. But now when you drive across a dry 63 across the bottoms and you look to the south and you see old 63 is under, what, 3 or 4 feet of water
right now.
That was aggressiveness that was taken by MoDOT in those days. Say, hey, we can't have this again because it's going to happen again. And it happened in 2019. So the aggressiveness and the efforts that was put forth by your predecessors and commission to replace and elevate 63, I just hope people realize that they're traveling to Columbia back and forth, and a lot of people commute back and forth on a regular basis, that is your aggressiveness and MoDOT's aggressiveness that made that possible.
Well, and it's the partnership with the federal government.
Yeah.
You know, having Governor Parson, the way he's been really on this issue throughout, we have breakpoints in the damage that occurs and whether or not you're eligible for emergency relief, but it also requires a declaration by the governor. And so he's been directing agencies across government to coordinate. We have fantastic coordination. You know, MoDOT itself, and I appreciate the thank you, but, you know, we're part of state government that's involved in this response. It goes across really all agencies. And, you know, I want to give a shout out to the work that is done in partnership with us and in coordination. You know, the state emergency manager, and that agency, Ron Walker, heads it up. He has a great deal of experience. He's great to work with. We have an incredible cooperative relationship that benefits the state. We co-locate a lot of our emergency operations and also the Missouri State Highway Patrol. You know, whenever anything is needed, whenever anything is needed by MoDOT, any assistance or anything, coordination through SEMA and with the Highway Patrol really does produce the type of response that the citizens expect and deserve. But I tell you, watching it happen, being a witness to it and participating in it, it's really humbling because what Missourians should know and what people in this area should know is you've got an incredibly dedicated workforce in public safety and in public works and throughout. You know, people don't realize, but, you know, the Department of Natural Resources is, you know, they've relaxed permitting requirements. They've been incredibly supportive. A lot of what happens when it floods is you have a lot of materials that float into the rivers, and when the water recedes, you know, storage tanks that might have contaminants in them, they have been working alongside us for months to source those. We've actually been finding the owners of the tanks and returning them to them, but that's, you know, people don't realize, you know, the Department of Natural Resources is out there hand in hand with us as well.
You know, interesting, going back to your Central District Engineer Dave Sylvester, we talked about that very issue last week.
Right.
He mentioned something about wooden pallets. Mm-hmm. You know, just if you drive along the straightaway across the bridge, you can see wooden pallets all over the place. Now, that's a relationship that you all are going to deal with the owner of those wooden pallets to secure and get back. And you have to do that all over the state on some of this stuff.
Yeah, you know, the amount of vegetation that's down. You know, we work with the Department of Conservation. We work, you know, a lot of this, what will happen is you'll see a lot of debris floating. A lot of it's vegetative and you know, in large whole trees and all of that that's floating, that can jam up in bridge openings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have to work with conservation. We have to work with the Department of Natural Resources. We have to work with our federal partners. But the response on a local basis to all of those things, it's literally thousands of these types of pop-up issues. And the ability of our workforce to respond to that, to come to the call. In our Northwest District, for example, our crews have literally not had a weekend off since before Thanksgiving. You know, we had a higher than normal winter.
Mm-hmm.
We went right into floods. At the beginning of these flood stages, we were putting plows on and off the 10-wheelers because one weekend it would snow, the next it would rain. We're dealing with flooding. In a bunch of cases, we had to put the plows back on to move debris off the roadways so that people could get out. And even just the logistics of putting barricades up with roads that are overtopping with water,
mm-hmm.
That is not an effort to inconvenience the public. Although if it's your home that's behind there and you're desperate to get there, or your business, we understand. But our primary rationale is to keep you safe to make sure that your family is alive. You know, the property is devastating for people to lose, but it's your life that's the primary issue there. And so we're really in that life safety mode when we're in emergency weather conditions, and that's our top priority.
You know, and it's always a challenge. It's a constant challenge between individual need and a public need and a safety, and it's got to be safety. And safety of your people while they're doing all of this.
That's correct.
And hopefully we haven't had any fatalities as a result of the last couple, 2 or 3 weeks.
We have not.
And I know you guys pushed that hard.
Yeah.
We're going to have to take a break. I want to come back. I want to talk about the irony of the whole thing, and that is your STIP program, which is in the middle of public comment right now. Visiting with Patrick McKenna, the director of Missouri Department of Transportation, here on Open Air Saturday. We'll take a quick break and come right back.
We're from mothers, daughters, sisters, and aunts. Breastfeeders, bottle feeders, safe sleepers, and no sleepers. We're for new moms and non-moms, stay-at-home all-stars and C-suite rock stars. We're for happy and healthy. We're for whatever makes you uniquely you. Because when women are healthy, we're all healthier. Capital Region Physicians Women's Health. For every woman.
MIDMO 2019. Sergeant Storm and his Bad Weather Battalion have formulated a new way to deal water damage to homes of mid-Missouri, where the citizens least expect it. They're siding. This looks like a job for Hodges Roofing and Siding and the Gray Panther.
This is Greg A. Hodges, a.k.a. the Gray Panther. If your siding is cracked, discolored, or moldy, I'll inspect it and make the best recommendations, tailored to your situation.
Hodges Roofing and Siding, home of the Gray Panther. HodgesMo.com.
More water, more sleep, more exercise. You've heard this if you've ever started a weight loss journey. But losing weight successfully doesn't always hinge on just getting more of the right things. A lot of it depends on eating the right foods. At drsethgerlach.com, you'll find the Right Diet Program. The Right Diet Program was developed by Dr. Seth to help improve your energy levels, sharpen your mind, and ultimately help you lose the weight you've always wanted to lose.
Text Right Diet to 38470 to learn more.
Hi, this is Mark Stewart with Appliance Cleaning Service. There are the common appliance problems like washer not spinning, the refrigerator not cooling, and the dryer not heating. And then there are the not so common like bad controls. Licensed and insured to do so, I can diagnose and I can fix both kinds of problems, and I'll always communicate the problem to you before I do the repair. So when you need appliance repair or you want preventive maintenance to avoid needing repair, contact me, Mark Stewart, at ApplianceCleaningService.com. Spend a little now, save a lot later.
The floods have come, submerging much of the land around West Highway 94, bringing business as usual to a standstill. But hay season will come too, and Lauf Equipment is still open, carrying the Kuhn hay equipment famous for the quality, performance, reliability, and longevity you need to make this harvest season better business than usual. See the new generation of Kuhn hay equipment today at Lauf Equipment on West Highway 94 and online at laufequipment.com.
Lauf Equipment!
I'm Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt. My job is to protect the citizens of our state and help make our communities safer. And today, I'm asking for your help. For too long, the citizens of our state have been deceived about opioids. As we move forward with our lawsuit, we want to hear directly from Missourians about how the opioid crisis has affected you and your loved ones. Share your story and help us hold those responsible accountable.
Share your stories at realopioidpain.com. Sponsored by the Missouri Attorney General's Office.
Tragedy has struck mid-Missouri.
My many years of covering weather, this is the worst storm I've ever seen hit Jefferson City.
But together, we are strong.
People just jumped in and did what needed to be done, and then people from out of nowhere showed up with what you needed, and everybody was offering different types of help.
Join us Friday, June 21st, for the KWOS Mid-Missouri Disaster Relief Radiothon with Capital Region Medical Center and GFI Digital. Find out more at kwos.com.
Catching you up on all things Jefferson City, it's Hal Dooley on KWOS.
And we're expanding that, not only Jefferson City, but the state of Missouri, mainly because we have Patrick McKenna, the director of Missouri Department of Transportation, with us. We are going border to border to border to border, all the way up 29, which is still closed, and we just talked about that briefly. One of the things, the irony of everything that's going on right now, is grassroots nuts and bolts still continue. And you have an ongoing policy development. The 20 to 24 development period of the State Transportation Improvement System is under public comment right now. That's part of the transparency of MoDOT, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's an important aspect. People don't realize that, you know, it's not a handful of people at MoDOT sitting around picking the projects that get done. We actually have a nationally recognized local planning process that goes on. We have, frankly, I think one of the most talented planning departments in the country, headed up by Michelle Watkins, is just an incredible professional. And she's developed a team working with our chief engineer, Ed Hassinger, and in our local districts, Dave Sylvester, you mentioned, but throughout. There are 1,200 volunteers all over the state in regional planning commissions, metropolitan planning organizations, and the transportation advisory committees that go through an objective process to figuring out what's the most important need in their region locally. So we listen to that and incorporate that feedback into the development of a statewide transportation improvement program. We are required to do some of this by federal statute because most of our capital money comes from our federal program, about 80% of that. And so we have to follow that, but we extend beyond that at MoDOT. We do the things that are required in the urban areas. We spread that same rationale into the rural areas so that localities are influencing what work we do and in what order. That's an important thing. And a lot of people might be concerned about conditions, but as I said, we only fund about half of what our engineers believe is necessary to bring the system up to a condition that people would be satisfied with and can support the economy and improve and enhance safety throughout and reliability of the system. So that annual process is right now, we're about midpoint through the public comment period. We just presented to the commission this past month. We had a meeting in Rolla, and we presented our draft STIP. It's available for comment. We've laid out about 1,869 projects in that over 5 years. The one wild card we have this time is that the federal surface transportation funding expires September 30, 2020, which is part of the way through the system. That's not long-term funding, and we need long-term funding. We planned for the Congress figuring that out, mm-hmm. although we have also qualified and worked with our planning partners to estimate if that doesn't happen, we will lose about $330 million a year. And we've actually shown in 2021 and 2022, we've highlighted all the projects that would be at risk if Congress isn't able to figure this out and fund the Highway Trust Fund. And so there's major, major importance to our work in Washington and what we do with the trade associations and in partnership with other DOTs around the country. It's a vital, vital interest for us. And it's a complicated, but it's a really great public process. And it's available for anybody to get involved with, to let us know what their concerns are. We do listen. We incorporate that in. It doesn't mean we can react instantly to every concern that's out there because of the funding limitations, but that's a big part of how we determine what to work on.
You know, we've talked for the last 45 minutes about the operational needs and operational challenges of MoDOT. One of the things we don't talk very much about is your workforce.
Yeah.
And because you can get all the resources in the world, whether they're short or long, but unless they're efficiently put to use, then it goes for naught. And especially the professional staff, I've always been concerned about, we talk about employee salaries, which is important, and we need to continue working on that. But getting young professionals, and I'm talking about engineers and architects and designers and lawyers and doctors, accredited professionals into state government and keeping them into state government. Yeah. I know when you call a staff meeting, it's nice to have a group of people that have been there, done that in the room, as compared to somebody that's only been there about a year and is just learning the ropes. Efficiencies plays a big part in it. I know you guys work hard on this, but it's also a challenge, just like the operational money is a challenge, on trying to keep and retain young professionals and make a career out of it. In the old days, you could make a career out of MoDOT. You could be an engineer. You could work 30 years. You could go up through the ranks. Don't get involved in the politics of anything and just build roads and bridges. That's what they wanted to do. But that's a challenge today to keep those type of people.
Well, it's a huge challenge. And, you know, I'd extend that to say our operations professionals as well. You know, getting out with the technology that we use today, even in plowing a road, This is not your grandfather's plowing operation. You know, we have one person that actually controls the hydraulics in a plow truck. And so what we used to have was a single driver and a wing person. Mm-hmm. Now it's down to one because of the technology in the equipment. That equipment is expensive. It requires skill and experience to navigate. And then in addition to that, we have technologies like the tow plow, which can extend one driver's plowing capacity to what four used to be. So the efficiency gains are really incredible, but the skill and professionalism required to operate those pieces of equipment safely in the public's domain during bad weather conditions, that professional aspect of what we do extends throughout the entire department, and retaining people is very difficult in a competitive labor market. You know, just at MoDOT, we are turning over 700 plus people a year in the last 8 or 9 years. Think about that. We have about a 5,000 person workforce. That's down from about 6,500 10 years ago. So we've reduced our footprint and our cost to the taxpayer by necessity. And that turnover cost is substantial, and that knowledge base loss is really hard to deal with. We are scrambling, and it's not just MoDOT; it's state government in general. There's nearly what I recently read is over a 20% turnover in state government in the past year. That's the prediction. Now, part of that is that we're in a full employment economy. So there are a lot of opportunities out there, and that side of it is good. But, you know, understanding the complexity and the professionalism required to provide services to the public with limited resources, you know, the dedication and skill and knowledge is the shortest path to efficient operations that we have. And on you know, for me, it is the single biggest issue looking into the future is planning for that succession and adjusting to the way the marketplace for employment is, making sure that we're doing a good job on behalf of those employees at least some semblance of market rate, and to be able to retain people and encourage their professional development throughout that period of time. It's vitally important, and that is the number one way that we deliver services. It's the backbone of the enterprise, and I really, truly, I do see, and I've been in other parts of the country, I believe that the Missouri Department of Transportation is simply one of the finest in the nation, and it's because of the people that work at the department. We've got an incredibly dedicated workforce. I never, ever hear complaints when something needs to be done, ever. I haven't heard it. You know, even in the past couple of years, as we've considered, you know, salary chain challenges and others, when I go out into local maintenance facilities and talk to our workforce, I said, what's the biggest issue you have? What am I not doing for you so you can do your job? And I never hear salaries. I always hear in our maintenance facilities, they say, we need materials to get the job done. We need equipment upgrades to get the job done. That's a great example, I think, of just how dedicated the workforce is, because they want to get they live and work in the communities they serve. And, you know, it's really something when mom tells you to get your act together and get that road in repaired. That really resonates for our team. Or, you know, when you're at the ball game and you know, instead of watching the game, you're hearing about the potholes in the local conditions. You know, our team wants to get the job done and make sure that we're maintaining that infrastructure.
And that's probably part of that. And you just raised a great point of the exit. And when people do leave, it's frustration not having the resources to be able to do a job that they need. They know needs to be done.
Yeah, it contributes to it. You know, just at MoDOT, our annual turnover costs exceed $40 million a year. Solving the problem is probably a third of that cost, but that's a hard sell. I just always look at things on there. You know, if I can get a 3-to-1 return on a dollar that I invest, you know, if you continue to do that time after time after time, everything gets better, right?
Yep. And one thing I do know is the director of MoDOT is aware of that situation, is working toward it, and we're going to continue monitoring that, because I think it's some of the the lifeblood in the long term, not only the money, but also the physical plant that you do have.
Well, and I tell you, I think, you know, for all state employees, the support of Governor Parson has been incredible. What a shot in the arm.
Absolutely.
For everyone.
Absolutely. Patrick McKenna, director of MoDOT, thanks for being on Open Air Saturday. Stay tuned for the news and Doug Rye's Home Remedies here on Open Air Saturday, KWS 950 104.5. Have a great weekend, everybody.
News Radio 950 and on FM at 104.5, KWOS Jefferson City. It's 9 o'clock.
The country today to call on Congress to impeach President Trump.
It's called the Impeach Trump Day of Action.